sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know you will be loved is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down.
Becky's holy, holy, holy is lost, 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 dear.
It's great. I now found it. Thank you. Okay.
Shall rise.
Thank you for worshiping with us. Please greet somebody next to you today.
I love this. Did you just see that girl run all the way across the front just to give her a hug? Look at that. Good morning. Hey, we are super glad that you guys are here this morning. And when we actually say we're glad, what we really mean is that we're really glad that you get to worship God today. We love to see your guys' faces and that you guys get to be here. I have to admit that I'm missing somebody right here, so it's just an off day for me, but that's okay. They sent me a message probably about a minute ago. They're in Denver right now, so they made their first flight, and they'll be there for most of the rest of the day, and then they'll fly out from there to where they're going. And so just be praying for the Guatemala trip. They got off nice and safe, and they're doing well so far. Just a couple announcements that I have for you this morning. If you'll take out your bulletins, because absolutely everything is in there that you guys need to know. But the first thing is this, is last week we did a drawing for the quilt, for the veterans quilt. And so just to let you know, Dean Brandt won that. And so we'll get it to the Brandt family, and then he can do that. And so thank you, quilting ladies, for making that for them. It was an absolutely gorgeous quilt. And so we'll be good to go that way. And let's see here. I have just a couple more announcements for you. What's next on the list here? I think we have something to do with a announcement for the kids. Is that right? Here we go.
What's going on here? I've had disturbance after disturbance. Please stop chewing your gum so loud. Please stop slurping that coffee. And try to keep that baby down, please.
Excuse me, sir. How can I help you?
My name's Sergeant Joe Sabbath, and I'm a peace officer. People expect me to keep the peace around here, and it looks like things are getting out of control. I heard there was a band of merry gentlemen heading this way.
Merry gentlemen?
Yes. I'm expecting them to arrive at the kids' Christmas program. You should all come. I hear it's going to be amazing, but don't be too loud. I just don't want to haul you in.
I did see that on the schedule on December 10th. You guys will be having maybe you're in it, I don't know, but there's a kids' Christmas program on December 10th during the morning service and one at 4 p.m.
That's right. We also have a favor to ask everyone this year. We would like the people to write notes of encouragement to people who serve in our community for all they do. I know I work hard, but I'm pretty sure they work even harder to keep this town peaceful.
Okay, so what you're asking for is you would ask us to write letters of encouragement for our service people that are in our community, such as, let's see here, I think we've got firefighters, we got EMTs, we got police officers, sheriff's officers, and just thanking them for the acts of service and encouraging them with the love of Christ this year?
That's right. Write the letters, bring them here, and we'll take care of the rest.
So you'll be collecting letters for a few weeks from here until probably Christmas Eve, right? Yeah, we've got a little bit of time. And then I am under the impression that you're going to have a designated box somewhere around there designed for you to drop off those letters, correct?
Exactly. What are you waiting for? Don't make me run you in a 52294B. Go share the news.
And so here's the deal. One of the things we thought about with the drought and everything that goes on in our community to take on just a little bit this year of blessing our service members. And so here's what we're asking of you, because we think that letters of encouragement and just sharing a little bit of hope with them, what we're asking for people in our church to do is just write letters of encouragement to all of those firefighters, EMS, and if you just mark it on those, on your maybe letter or something like that, just saying who to go to. Then on actually Christmas Eve day, what we're going to do is a bunch of us are just going to come, or if you don't have anything that day, we're just going to go and deliver these letters to all the houses of the people who are service community members in our church. And so there are some of you who really like to think about this. And so go home, think about encouraging letters to share the gospel of just thanking them. And so would you be willing to start doing that? Would you be willing to take the time to start writing letters to all those people, to our police officers, to our sheriff's officers, to our EMTs and our firefighters, and then we will distribute them. And so we just want to bless them with an encouragement this year. So please start doing that. And the next thing is you should actually come to that play, probably come to both, because it's going to be amazing. And so mark on your calendar for a couple weeks from now. It's called Arrest These Merry Gentlemen. And so you guys will have fun watching that. The next thing that I have for you is that we are a part of helping out the Salvation Army bring in funds for the year. And so what we're looking for is there's a couple weekends. There is the March. This is a busy, I know this is a big busy weekend, but March 9th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, not March, December 8th, 9th, and 10th, what we're going to be doing is I'm looking for people to take two-hour slots to be willing to ring the bell at Shopko, and so for the Salvation Army. And so if you have a couple hours that you would like to just kind of donate of your time to be able to ring the bell at Shopko and help us collect funds for the Salvation Army. And what the Salvation Army does is we get to be able to use all of those funds for people in our town who need help. And so if you can do that, would you please just come and talk to me. We have a couple weeks, and so I have a sign-up sheet that'll be in the back, and then you can just come in on those times. And it's Friday is only from 3 to 8. Saturday is like 2 to 8 o'clock at night, and then Sunday is the same thing as 2 to 8 o'clock. And so if you'd be willing to be a part of that, would you please just go back to the information center and look at those dates and sign up for that. And a couple other things. One last thing is this, this week we're headed into the holiday season, of course. And so you might not know, but Brian is going to be gone. So he'll be gone the whole entire week. They'll be back Monday. And so not this next Monday, but the following Monday after that. And so just continue to pray for them and go from there. And then I will be leaving tomorrow morning to head off to my wife's family's house in Langdon, North Dakota. And so be praying for my family as we go there. But also that means that there's nobody here except for Terry. And so that doesn't mean nobody. That just means that if you need to talk to somebody, would you please, please, please call her? She'll be here most every day. And so she's holding down the fort for us, and she's been busy wrapping boxes and all of that sort of stuff. And so just make sure that you even encourage her. Do you have somewhere to go for Thanksgiving? Okay, great. Well, then you guys should just also keep inviting her. And so I'm just joking. Multiple Thanksgivings would be amazing. And so just be thinking about that. And then also with that, Wednesday night on our Thanksgiving Eve service is at 6 o'clock here. And so you won't want to miss that great night of worship. And we'll have JJ Guerrero come and speak with us about what it means to have grace and thanksgiving in the mission field. And so please be coming to that on Wednesday night. And then that just gets you set up for the next morning's Thanksgiving. And so with this, the reason why Terry is holding these boxes right here is because today is the last day that we've collected the Operation Christmas Child boxes. And so I'm pretty sure what happened was is our church brought in 113 boxes. You packed 93 of them with Route 456 or something like 92 boxes on Friday night.
I didn't pack them.
Karen's mic, yeah. There you go.
I didn't pack them. I'm still not on.
Just wait for
Hello?
Him. There you go.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't pack them.
Okay, you didn't pack them, but
I
the roof for
15 kids pack them.
Sweet, good.
I just checked them. Yeah. And Julie checked them.
Yeah. And so
awesome.
We'll be praying for these boxes today in our as we pray with one another. And so are there any other announcements that I'm missing this morning? We've got one right here I know of.
Hi, I'm Jessica DeGreek, and as you know, I've been raising money for the Thanksgiving box, and I want to say thank you to everyone that donated. We've raised $675, so that's enough for the boxes and leftover of $95, so we can give to them an extra $95, which is awesome. It costs Dan Lindsay to run the Lord's table. It costs him $33,000 a year, and they go through hamburger the most, so an extra $100 in hamburger is going to be great for them. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for helping out with that. And the last thing on my list before we pray is make sure that you write on your calendar that weekend of December 8th and 9th our adult Christmas cantata. You won't want to miss it. It's Breath of Heaven. And so just a great time to come, relax, and get ready for the season. And Becky Johnson does a great job. If you'd like to still be a part of that, they'll be meeting in this room after church today. And so go enter into it if you love to sing or if you love to just make a joyful noise. Just go, because I can't sing well, but I'm going to still be a part of it. So yeah. And the next thing is this week, once again, I'm just going to tell you the prayer request that we got from all of you guys just praying for people. It's been phenomenal, the prayer requests that you guys have sent about who you are praying for to bring to Christ, to share. And so we have absolutely loved that. And so please don't stop bringing all that information. And so in the seat back in front of you is a 3x5 card. Would you just fill in a prayer request for us? And we'll be praying this week. Terry will be praying because she gets them all this week. And she already says she has a special time to be able to do that. So please write in there we'll be praying for you this week. Okay? Great.
We don't have Awana this week, do
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we do not have Awana
and
or
we don't
a dinner.
Have dinner.
Yep.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be ready for that.
Yep, absolutely. But if you do, I know that you're always ready to love people.
Oh, so. We'd have fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully no more eyes
yeah, that's
get
right.
shot out.
All right.
Like the last Nerf gun war.
Yeah. Be praying for those kids. Hey, let's pray. Hey, dear Heavenly Father God, this is your church. We are your people. And God, we desire to do the things of you. You ask us to love one another and to love you and to serve one another and to share the good news and to be people of encouragement, people of love. And God, it's because you first loved us that at the very beginning of time, because you always have been and you will always be, you chose to create us and to have a relationship with us. And even though you knew we'd be hurting and you knew that we would ultimately walk away from you at one point and make pretty horrible decisions, but you would still have the grace and the mercy to send your son. It's the most beautiful message. It's the truth that your son would come and die on the cross for us and that we would have new life. So God, would we have a desire to know your word? Would we have a desire to reach out to the people that we work with? Would we have a desire not to take your word for granted? But that God, we would seek you so that we're people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. But God, in every circumstance in our life, if we have people that are going into the hospital and we have to go travel or we just have to have a relationship with people, God, would we be people of peace? Would we be people that know the truth and can rely on you and to trust in you. And that, God, would we be people who worship you? That, God, we would be thankful and that we would know that you've got everything under control. Because, God, you're a good God. Think about the people going to Guatemala today and the blessing they're going to be, but Lord, would you give them a supernatural love that they've never known? That, God, that some of their fears and their worries and their doubts and and all of that stuff can be left at your feet, and so that they would have the joy of you, that they would have the love of you, and that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit to consistently share your love.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much that we can come here and worship you. So many places are not able to do that and do not know you and have that privilege of knowing that you desire a close relationship with each one of us. And God, I just ask you that you'll help us to grow in that. And I just ask you that these boxes that we've prepared, that the kids that receive them and the families that receive it, pray that you will just draw them to you, to know you personally. Help the missionaries, give them the strength that are on the front lines, provide what they need, and the pastors, wisdom and guidance. God, I also lift up all the volunteers in between, from leaving here to driving the trucks to sorting them again and getting them into planes, automobiles, on backs of animals, to backs of people, to horse and buggies. And I just ask you that you will just get these all to the places that they need to be, and that the people that receive them, the kids that receive them, will feel your love. God, I also lift up this time of the year. It's the holidays and stressful and hard and at times, but it's also a joyful time. God, there's so many stresses that are coming in our life right now, and with work, with family, with activities. God, I just ask you that you'll just help us to keep our eyes on you first. God, I ask you to help us to remember to be kind to each other and encouraging and loving. God, I also lift up marriages. God, there's so many marriages that are broken and they're struggling, and marriage isn't easy. And God, you knew that. You put it together for a plan to help grow us in you. God, help us to keep our eye focus on you first. Then, God, I ask you that you'll show us ways to love our spouse effectively this week. Help us to think about it and do it. God, I just thank you so much for your love. Thank you that we get to give our money back to you. You've given and trusted this money to us. And this is a small portion of the money we give, and way less than we probably should. But I just thank you that we can be a part of your ministry, your hands and feet for your ministry. God, thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We will invite the ushers to come forward and we'll take our offerings, but we get to, every third Sunday of the month, we get to listen to amazing talent and voices. And so today, Terry McMurray is going to be able to share with us just her voice and how God uses her. So take it away.
Safer than the light, and everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love is waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, it would change our lives. It would set us free. It's what we need to be. Bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. Mm-hmm. If we're honest, if we're honest, if we're
and for those of you who are left in here, why don't you flip with your Bibles open with me to Romans chapter 13. We're going to be in Romans chapter 13 today. And as some of you know, we've been, as a church, going through this book right here called Foundations for the last year. Most of the year. And so we are, before we head into the Christmas season, in which we're going to actually look at the five gifts of Christmas, where we're going to talk about the gift of grace, the gift of truth, the gift of God, the gift of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are taking just a couple weeks to get back into Foundations again and kind of look at, this thing is fantastic. If you haven't picked up this book, there's about four more copies in the information center. And so please grab one on your way out. If you haven't grabbed one yet, it's just a great way to go, hey, we need to get in the Word together. And then you can finish out the year and then just start the book with us again. And so on your own, and you'll be good. So there you go. And so let's read Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14 together. Here's what it says. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to people, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. This is all the more urgent for you now, how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Let's pray. Hey God, as we enter into your scripture today, Lord, may our hearts be ready. May you soften our hearts where they need to be softened. And would you start working? Would you communicate with us? Would you talk to us? Would you shape us and guide us and direct us? Because your word does all of those things. God, would we at the very end of this realize that, man, we do owe nothing but love to people. So God, I thank you. And I praise you for who you are. In your name we pray, amen. So I heard this quote this week, and this is what it says. It said, we have a diminished view of life because we have a distorted view of God. Let me say that again. We have a diminished view of life because we have a distorted view of God. And the very first thing that as we pop into this piece of scripture, the very first sentence, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. I wonder sometimes if I have a distorted view of love. If you know a little bit about me, you'll know that I am a huge rom-com fan, romantic comedy movie fan. I love love, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really super sappy, but my wife and I sit down to watch a movie, I'm not usually going, hey, let's watch The Avengers, babe. I'm usually like, hey, let's find a romantic movie to watch together. And sometimes I wonder if when I watch those movies, I get to the point of starting to realize that maybe I have a diminished view of what love is. If you've ever looked at a romantic comedy, what happens is boy meets girl or girl meets boy. They kind of usually have this struggle together, and then all of a sudden that brings them together, and then they like have this aha moment that they really like each other. But somebody has a secret somewhere, right? Either they are there because they've been bet to date this person, or maybe they have this deep dark secret, and then all of a sudden it comes out, right? And what do? They completely go their separate ways. They like, you know, one goes flying back home or something like that. And then all of a sudden, in the movie, we're sitting there going, okay, you got to get back with them. Okay, you got to go back. Hey, don't be dumb. You just got to go back and say I'm sorry, right? And then eventually something happens when one of them feels like they're absolutely stupid or dumb. And they're like, oh yeah, I guess I better go back. And then the movie ends with what? Them kissing, right? I mean, that's a really good romantic comedy movie, I guess. One of the things I was thinking about, though, is that it almost seems like when we look at something like that, look at a movie like that, we instantaneously go, well, wait a second, something has to happen. Either somebody is responding to something that they get mad at, and then they realize, well, maybe it's not that important, or maybe they realize that, wait a second, I'm willing to get over this. If you go into a dark romantic comedy, right, what happens? At the very end, it usually just kind of ends in nobody's together, but it's really funny and you, ha ha. I mean, those types of things. And so I think about this, and what would it be if we have a diminished view of what love is because we don't understand the love of God? What if we came to a place in our lives where it didn't matter what the other person did? It just mattered that we chose to love always. that at every point in time, whether we agree with them or not, or whether we're judging them and they're so much different, what if we came to the point of going, no, my obligation is always and only to love them. Not if they do this, then I will do this. You know, I think of it this way, is one of the most beautiful examples I can think about this is a marriage. Right? We step up and I've done this multiple times. I'm standing here and we're reading the vows, and they read these vows back and forth to each other. And I look at it and I go, I wonder if they realize that these are vows and it's not a contractual agreement. I wonder if people would look at it and go, no, it's not based on what you're going to do. It's based on what God has called me to do as a husband. Or it's based on what God has called me to do as a wife. That I'm not just going to love you just when it's better, right? It's for better or for worse. It doesn't matter. I'll love you. Man, maybe you're going to do something that really upsets me. Nope, still love you. And sometimes I think to myself, it is a choice. Actually, always love is a choice. And here, though, I want to tell you that it's an obligation choice. You need to be able to come from that point always. I'm obligated to do this because it compels me and I desire to and I want to. Not because somebody is pushing down on you saying you have to do this. No, I'm obligated to do it because I've seen what happens. And so today, as we go through this scripture, I'm really excited to share with you just some of the things I've learned as I've looked at this piece of scripture, because we start out right away. Very first thing is that we realize that through this scripture, if you're taking notes with me, that the current currency of the gospel is love. The current currency of the gospel is love. That at every single point in time, that what is always owed is love in the kingdom of God. It is that God's kingdom is more important than our rights. So do we need to let love determine how we act towards one another. It's not like any other system we've ever seen, where if you do what's right for me, then I will give you this. The best thing I can think of right away is this, is one of the example that I got was, we live in a world where at almost any given point in time, we can choose what we want to eat, right? A classic date, husband and wife go out, what do we do to each other? Well, what do you want to eat? And then it starts with categories, right? Well, do you want to eat Chinese food? Do you want to eat Mexican food? Do you want a good burger? Do you want a steakhouse? Do you want the greasy spoon? Do you want to just maybe go? I mean, there's all these options. We live in a world where you get to choose what you want, which is just crazy to me, first of all, right? Like, I can't imagine most of the world usually eats beans and rice. But I, in my world, get to just choose. I don't like that. But anyway, that's besides the point. If you want me to go on a tangent, I'll go on there. But then we choose this place, and then what happens? We get there, and we live in a world in which as soon as we sit down, a meal or a menu gets plopped in our face, and we get to choose what menu. And now, as soon as we get there, now we've built a relationship with somebody, because what's the first thing that they do is we sit down. They go, can I get you something to drink? And now all of a sudden we have some sort of what we would call a relationship with the person who's bringing us our food. So now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we maybe don't know this person or anything like that. We can judge them. But now our relationship with that person is based on something that's going to happen at the very end of the menu. Of the night, right? The very end of my dinner date with my wife. And it's a thing that's called the tip. Which, by the way, I'm just going to get this out of the way. For me, the tip is probably one of the most scariest things I do in my life. Because I want people to like me, right? And so like I'm always thinking about the tip right away, even though I've already made a blanket statement that I'm always going to do 20%. Always. Doesn't matter, always going to do 20%. Even if it's horrible service or if it's great service, 20%. And if they're really good, see, I'm already making judgments. If it's really good, maybe go 25. But the thing I think about that is this, is that now from that very point that she says or he says, hey, welcome to the Cheesecake Factory. I will be your server tonight. I don't know why I chose the Cheesecake Factory, but anyway, yeah, I made a cheesecake the other night. So anyway, welcome to this. I will be your waiter. And then all of a sudden, now it begins, what do you want to drink? And I'm going to be like, water. I'll just take water. That's good. And so then now I've created this system in which what happens if I drink all my water because I'm super thirsty and now I'm sitting there for the next 10 minutes without water and she doesn't come or he doesn't come to fill up my water glass. Then I start going, well, this is horrible service around here, right? That's how I grew up. In Billings, you knew that you had a great waitress or waiter if they came in and filled up your drink very quickly. Then I moved to Glasgow, and then I found out you might wait for 10, 15 minutes to get your refill, but that's okay for Glasgow. Anyway, but now we start having this thing, and then we start to go, okay, well, how long has it been for my food? Or what if the waitress or waiter comes to you, and they are really good? They don't write anything down, and they get everything right. What do we say? Wow, that's an amazing waiter. They remembered everything and they didn't even write it down and plugged it all in and got it to the right spot. I'm going to give them an extra tip. But then if the person tries to not write it down and then they get everything messed up, what do we say? Well, they should have written it down. Right? Like we have these standards. We instantaneously judge. We don't know what this waiter is going through. We have no clue the night before. We have no clue what the relationship with the kitchen staff with them or their managers are going through. But all of a sudden, at the very end of it, there's this thing, right, that we all feel obligated to do, don't we? Called the tip. And then we instantly judge in that moment. Now, In my growing up, and it doesn't happen here, but in Billings, actually, you don't get paid minimum wage to be a waiter or waitress. You get paid much less than minimum wage, and you live off of your tips. And so sometimes what we all of a sudden do, I had a really good friend that worked at Olive Garden, right? And so Olive Garden in Billings, and what do you think is the worst day? And you guys have already heard this from me before. The worst day to work in Olive Garden is Sunday from 11 until 3 every day. Every Sunday. They're the worst tippers. In fact, there was one person that said, man, actually one day I thought they were the best tippers because I saw a $100 bill until I picked it up and it was like, oh, you thought this was real. This is how you have salvation on the back of it, right? They left this track that says, we love you. And so I sometimes wonder, okay, we in that very moment, we have an obligation. We feel this obligation because it's a part of our world. And now we get a point to go, am I going to love them or maybe say something else? And so really for me, that is the moment where I feel the most guilt of the whole entire thing. What if I didn't give enough? What if they're actually hurting? What if? And I haven't even built a relationship with them, right? I'm just thinking about all these things. Or what if I don't leave enough and I walk out and they go, oh, that pastor, ugh, can you believe it? He didn't even give me a big enough tip. But I wonder if we started changing that into everything. So what is, at that very moment, one of the most loving things I can do? I'm not saying give a $1,000 tip. That's not what I'm saying. But are we making sure at that very moment that it's not actually about the tip? What if it was about the meal? What if I was saying thank you to them? What if I was actually being encouraging them? What if I actually wanted to know their name and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, how's your work day for you? What's going on? Not that I have to make a huge conversation, but what if it was about the relationship I'm building with him to show them love? Because love can't be at the very end of all things in which we go, I've checked the box, I gave you my 20%, I'm good. We do that with marriages, don't we? Well, if my wife does this, and then we'll be good. If my wife listens to me, if my wife submits, we're fine. Or the wife says, well, if my husband does these sort of things, brings in the right amount of money, does all of this stuff, then I'll choose to love him. And I think we have tons of marriages that are riddled with guilt between one another because we're not coming out of a place of love. We're coming out of a place of, you do this and I'll do that. We have tons of work relationships like that, don't we? And there is a certain sense where things need to be done, but I wonder if when we started with those relationships, we would start out of the idea of, no, I'm obligated to love you today. And that just doesn't happen, right? Because we are constantly making judgment all the time with people. We're constantly trying to figure out what's going on and where we fit in that whole entire situation. And so I was thinking, God, if I'm always obligated with love, if my current currency of the gospel is to show love always, not based on what they do, but based on what you're calling me to do, how do I even get to that point? How do I even come to that point to be able to love well? And the answer is right after this. And so here we go with number two is this, is that the Ten Commandments or the commandments are the foundation for love. That's crazy to me that I was thinking about the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the place where it's all these rules that we call rules is the foundation for love. It just blew my mind. And so I want to read this piece of scripture with you, and then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. And this is what it says, okay, in verses 9 through 10. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's crazy to me that if you do these commandments, this is what actually loves your neighbor as yourself. And then it goes on, verse 10, love does no wrong to others. In fact, actually, there's other pieces of scripture that say, translations of scripture that says, love will never have debt. You can love people constantly, and it's never a point where I go, well, I've loved you enough, I've put enough love in the bank account. No, it's just always needed, always going, no, I can never love enough. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. And so I wanted to kind of quickly run with you guys what that looks like. And so for that, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. And this is where we see the Ten Commandments. And I want you to see something that as we read through this really quickly, something that I want you to think about is as we look at these, the very first commandments are all about how you have a relationship with God. The very first four commandments. So if you look at it this way, the very first commandments actually give us a foundation of how to do the rest of the commandments. So the four is all the first four are about our relationship with God. And then the next six are all about our relationships with one another. And I think that is fantastic because before we can even love anybody, we absolutely have to love God first. Another quote I heard is this, is that witness to the world is born with worship in the church. People who are passionate about exalting the glory of God will be passionate about spreading the gospel, if we are passionate about the first four commandments, we will be passionate about the next six, because it will no longer become about a drudgery of what we have to do. It becomes naturally out of who we are, because we want to exalt God always. And so let's read this together. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other gods but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have six days each week of your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, or any foreigners living among you. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the seventh day and set it apart as holy. And I read that, and I think to myself, those are just horrible rules sometimes. I look at them and go, wow, man, this is really difficult. You're telling me that, man, I'm not to have, I can't have any other gods. And of course, all of us want that, right? All of us want to not have any other gods. But how many gods do you have in your life? I want you to be honest with yourself today. How many things do you actually put in front of God? I mean, the classic thing that we always tell people to do is, hey, just on a sheet of paper, man, maybe you should like say what's the most important thing. And all of us want to put God at the top. Well, it's God, then it's family, then it's work. Really? Because you spend 8 hours at work a day. Some of you 16, some of you 12. And in that, you probably don't think about your family at all. But man, they're more important than work is. And yes, I know we have to work. But I wonder if we have a desire to, man, what? Man, I say God is the most important thing, but I give him maybe 45 minutes of my day. Maybe I think about him. Maybe when I actually get stuck, I finally pray to him. I wonder what it would look like if we just made a little bit of an adjustment on that. Man, I look at that and I know one of my favorite verse of this is 6, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. And he desires for us to know him and to love him. And so that changes generations forever. The generations after us start to go, know that there is a God and he is holy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I just want to read this to you because this is what happens when people desire God more than anything else. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Listen, O Israel, this is a whole entire nation who has decided to follow God. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. The reason why they know that is because it changes generations. It changes nations. It changes the way we do things. It allows us to see the love of God on us so that we can then share the love of God on others. Because the Ten Commandments then go into the next six, which is all about other people. Honor your father and your mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord God has given you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female, servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Man, that's really easy for us to say, man, I haven't murdered anybody. But I can certainly tell you that I watch my kids' spirits deflate when I'm mad at them and I yell at them for no good reason. I wonder sometimes if I start to murder people's souls because the way I deal with them, the way that I talk to them. A lot of us are like, well, I haven't committed adultery. Man, how many of us take that extra second glance at something we shouldn't be? Man, I don't steal. Have you stolen time from your family because you maybe work a little too much? You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. I'm telling you, I found out something about my neighbor this week, and I'm like, she's my neighbor. I didn't even know that was going on in their lives. And I just got incredibly guilty. I read this and I just think about the other thing is, I don't even know what I would falsely say about my neighbor because I haven't spent the time with them. If I was to say something falsely, does that make sense? I mean, it goes on and on, and maybe we should be thinking about these things and just going, okay, have I had the currency of love in everything that I'm doing? And it starts with the Ten Commandments. It starts right there that as I spend time and as I'm going through things, I wonder if my main currency is love. Or if my main currency is just to get something that I want. Or what if I am completely bankrupt in that currency and I need love in my life? Because the very last thing that I think about is that after we understand that there is a currency of love in the kingdom of God, in the gospel, and the Ten Commandments help us out with that, I think that then as we allow that to well up in our lives, the next step is amazing. And it's this, and if you're still taking notes with me and if you're still with me, is this, is that love has urgency. Love has urgency. It means it has to be done now. It can't be wait until there's something that until there's something that we're okay with that other person for, or that we finally decide, yep, okay, great, they're worthy of love, or us. We don't have time to go, well, maybe I need to fix myself, or maybe I need to figure out the best way to love. No, start somewhere. Start somewhere. What if it's that you need to just simply go to your spouse and go, I am so sorry for the way things have been happening. Maybe it's going to your coworker and going, you know what, I said the wrong thing to you the other day. Maybe it's going to your children and saying, man, you know what, the Bible says that you're supposed to honor me. I don't know if I've done a lot of things in my life to allow you to honor me. What if it's starting with just the simple plate of cookies? Man, thanks for what you do. And that one teacher, that man, you just know that you need to go up to them and go, I know that I probably give you a hard time. Please forgive me. Or what if it's just making somebody's day by going up to them and giving them a hug? This is always fantastic, is one of the things that about being a youth pastor that I read a long time ago is this, that the most important thing to a kid most times is their name, because it's the only possession they have. Has there been some times where you've walked by somebody over and over again and you're like, hey, how's it going? And you don't even remember their name. You haven't even spent the time to know that. Love has an urgency, and it needs to be now. Verses 11 through 12 say this: this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. I'm just going to tell you, from the moment you were born, you started losing time. Doesn't happen tomorrow. You can't put it off. It needs to happen now. If there's a conversation that you need to have in your household about, hey, we need to get back on track and we're going to try our best to do it, have that conversation now. In fact, actually, Jesus talks about, if you go to the altar and you present your gifts to God and you realize that somebody has something against you, leave. Leave your gift there. Don't spend time with me. Go and take care of that and come back and then give your gifts to me. That's how important it is for God, that he would say, please go do that right now. Because that's glorifying God always. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. And so now we come to the so what of this sermon, and I'm going to invite the worship band to come up, because this so what's going to be pretty quick, and then they're going to lead us in worship. But the so what is this, is that I wonder how you live your life always. Because he sits there and he says, if you understand that you have a current currency of love and that the Ten Commandments are helping you and that there is urgency in this, what does it look like daily then? Because it's really easy to know who to maybe go up to, or who to maybe that we need to love a little bit more. But what if it was always, that 24/7 we were doing this? And here's where I think is that I wonder if we have pretty high moral standards in our life. Or if we just have a little bit of give and take, because we say things like, well, God knows my heart. Or, well, I can do this next year. Or, I'm not perfect. Everybody sins. Yeah, everybody does sin. But the consequences of those sins are different all the time. And so he says this. He says in verses 13 through 14, he says, man, live decent lives. Have high morals. How are you doing in your sexual behaviors? How are you doing in your sobriety? I love the idea of sobriety, and it's not just this idea that, man, drunkenness. I think when we talk about sobriety, it's the idea of what's in your mind that's filling what's going on, that's not allowing you to be of sober mind. That's not allowing you to think clearly of God all the time. What if it's distractions in your life? What if you're constantly thinking about money that takes you completely away from your ability to even think about what's going on in the moment? You're not sober-minded then. You're not thinking clearly. And then he goes on to say, what about the idea of your integrity and your speech? Are you a naturally quarreling person? Do you want to fight over a political position? Do you want to fight over whether they kneel or not kneel? Or are you just going to encourage people to love Christ all the more? Because if we started with the current currency of love, that means that it doesn't matter what the other person is talking about. What matters is us getting in and figuring out how to love them better. That it doesn't become about our point or our way of doing things. It becomes about loving them. And sometimes love does ask us to say truthful things like Terry McMurray's song was talking about. But that truth comes out of not judgment or anger, but it literally comes out of a place of love. And so as we sing these songs, I want you to think about how much you desire God in your life above anything else. How much you desire the kingdom above anything else. Because if you would do that, I think what happens is we constantly want to then come back to the foundation of the Ten Commandments. And we want to love God more than anything else. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. Man, that's what the currency becomes. It becomes about love. Let's pray. God, we want to be people who love you and want to be people who search out your word. And man, your law has been fantastic to me this last couple of weeks. That going back into your law, we find freedom to love people. We don't need to judge. We just need to encourage. That it doesn't become about what they do for us, but it becomes about what we desire to do for you. So that you get all of the glory. God, would we be amazing witnesses to the world out of the worship that we have for you? Because when we're passionate about exalting you and exalting your Son and the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will be passionate about spreading your love, your good news to those around us. And we will always have the currency of love, and that we will continually desire to owe people love. In name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Never simply.
Yeah.
presence I am free.
The stillness I am free.
So, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbors, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. Have a great rest of the day. Love you guys.